Give a good fortune, good evening, Clark. Coming Luke Klasky in the Shock Doing a Show with me, Tom Comack, as always with you on a half eight on a Wednesday night, and we're here until 9 o'clock. Hope you can stay with this. Well, the Donegal dream is over for another year. Defeated by Mayo in Castlebar on Saturday evening. 4 points in the end, 114-110. And, well, maybe there were complaints, but just Donegal didn't perform, and Mayo were through, and they played Dublin on Saturday evening in the first of the All-Ireland semi-finals. It's a quick turnaround for both Dublin and for Mayo. And, of course, Dublin defeated Tyrone on Sunday, 116-13 points. And, well, Tyrone will face Kerry, who defeated Meath in the other top four game on Saturday evening, up in Park Tailteann in Navan. And Roscommon got a win in the Super 8s. They defeated Cork down in Cork 4-9-3-9. Plenty of goals in that particular game. But well, on tonight's programme, I'm joined by former Fermanagh player and manager Dom Corrigan, and a regular guest here on the show. And well, before we join Dom, just to remind you, you can text us, of course, on 086 60 25000. And if you want to text us from the north of Ireland or outside the dialing area, you can do so on 0035386 60 25000. And of course, don't forget that you can also listen back to the programme on www.highlandradio. And of course, I know we have quite a lot of listeners right around the world on the World Wide Web who listen to us live, but it is goes up as a podcast from early tomorrow on www.highlandradio.com and also on the Highland Radio app. But, well, as I said, Dom Corrigan is joining us now, and he's joining us to reflect on I suppose, on last weekend's All-Ireland, the big game, I suppose, Donegal and Mayo, and to look at Tyrone and Dublin as well, and give his thoughts on the meeting of Tyrone and Dublin, or Kerry this weekend in the All-Ireland semi-final, and, of course, that clash of Mayo and Dublin as well. Dom, first of all, thank you for joining us, and delighted to have you tonight again. And well, we're here to reflect, I suppose, on last weekend's big games in the Super 8. Of course, that was the meeting of Donegal and Mayo in Castlebar, and for those of us here in the northwest as well, was that meeting of Tyrone and Dublin in Healy Park. We'll get your thoughts on that, and I suppose this weekend's semi-finals all coming thick and fast. Mayo, of course, and Dublin on Saturday evening in Croke Park, and I'm already hearing problems over tickets, and the big game at, of course, Tyrone and Kerry. But first of all, before we talk about that, we'll talk a little bit more, maybe closer to home in Fermanagh. Is you in the ring for the vacant Fermanagh job?
No, Tom, my hat is not in the ring. I can announce that officially here on Highland Radio. They would probably have come up a year or two too early. I thought maybe Rory was staying on another year or two, and maybe in 2 years' time it would have been a perfect fit for me. But I'm still teaching in St. Michael's. I'm still in charge of the McCrory Cup team. We're defending a McCrory and a Hogan this coming season, so there's where my full attentions will be. So I'm not throwing my hat in the ring this year for Fermanagh.
And you mentioned there that it was felt that Rory Gallagher may stay another year or two. Did it come as a bit of a surprise that he opted out?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised myself, because I suppose they were still in Division Two, and the Championship this year didn't go that well. But in saying that, we played against two of the best teams in Ulster, in Donegal and Monaghan, and were seriously competitive in both of them. So I was surprised, but I'm sure Rory had his own reasons to leave. And, you know, whoever takes on the job now has was a nice job there. The team's in Division 2. There's certainly plenty of work that needs to be done to get them to the next level, but there'll be plenty of people interested in taking on Fermanagh, because there's good footballers there, there's good quality coming through, and it's an exciting challenge for whoever takes it.
It's an interesting one, because Rory was the player's choice. It was one of those, wasn't it, that the players sought him out last year when he became vacant?
Yes, definitely. The players were delighted to get Rory, a man of his experience, coming from the Donegal setup. You know, they've had success. They got up from Division 3. They were very close to getting promotion to Division 1. I think Rory said himself he was disappointed that they didn't make it. They lost the last two league games to Meath and Armagh. One of those they could have won. And in fact, if they had to win one of them, they were getting promotion ahead of Donegal. So that was a big disappointment. And then Not winning a game in the championship this year would have also been a big disappointment to Rory. So I suppose he felt maybe that he wanted a challenge somewhere else, and that's the way it goes. So Rory has been good to Fermanagh, and you know, he will move on, and no doubt the Fermanagh team will move on as well.
And any names been mentioned? Anyone raising its head?
There's always the usual suspects, Tom, but. I see there for Kieran Donnelly, the Scotstown manager, he ruined himself out as well. I know Ryan McMenamin, who was part of Rory's backroom team and a very valuable member of his team, he has expressed an interest. I haven't heard of any interest from the outside, but I suppose anyone who is interested on the outside will be keeping it quiet. But I'd be surprised if there weren't people from maybe outside the county interested in taking Fermanagh forward as well. So I'd say the county board will probably be hoping to have a bit of competition for the job, and it would be a healthy sign if that were the case.
And do you expect Rory to move on somewhere else?
Oh, I'm sure he will. I know Rory's training Killybegs at the minute, so definitely that will keep him busy, because Killybegs are pushing hard for promotion there, and they're going well in the Donegal League. So whether he stays with the club or looks an opportunity to move into a county setup, Rory will take time out now and decide what's best for him. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of challenges ahead for Rory.
And I'm sure, given his record with Donegal, there'll be plenty of offers as well.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rory back on the inter-county stage somewhere. I know he's been linked with Monaghan, but I'm not so sure that there's anything to that one. Probably maybe somewhere closer to the home, maybe out west or something. Might be more appealing to Rory where there's less travelling involved.
Yeah. Anyway, first of all, before we look ahead to next weekend's action and the two big games we mentioned, obviously Mayo and Dublin on Saturday evening and Tyrone and Kerry on Sunday in the All-Ireland semi-final, what did you make of last weekend's big games? There was a couple of not so big ones as well, but first of all, we start with Donegal and Mayo. I know You kind of went against the grain the last time we spoke, and you tipped Mayo to win it, and they lived up to your expectation anyway.
Well, I knew that Mayo and Castlebar on the last day of the Super 8, they were going to be a serious difficult proposition for any team, and it was just unfortunate that Donegal drew them in the last match. If Donegal had to get Mayo in round one in Ballybuffet, I think Donegal would be in the All-Ireland semi-final this coming weekend. The fact that they drew Meath, who were the weakest team in the group, at home, they could have went down to Navan and beat Meath in round three. So Kerry got the luck on that side of it. It was unfortunate for Donegal that they had to go to Castlebar. But I had fancied Mayo to beat them, because they're a serious animal when their backs are to the wall, and especially with that home crowd roaring them on. It's worth 3 or 4 points to them every day, because I remember Fermanagh played Mayo down there in the backdoor game in, I think it was 2016, and we were 6-7 points up at half time. They went on to the All Ireland final that same year, Tom. Dublin beat them, but we had them on the rack, and I never saw a crowd get behind a team the way Mayo got behind their team that day in the second half. And they brought Mayo back into it. I know they got a dubious penalty that Aidan O'Shea won for Killian O'Connor to convert on that same day, which really turned the game on its head with 10 minutes to go. But that was the reason that, I felt that Mayo were not going to let that opportunity pass them by, that they had a game, and I heard James Horne reference it post-match last Saturday evening. There was no way that they were going to let an opportunity where they had a home game, more or less an All-Ireland quarter-final in their own backyard, they weren't going to let that opportunity pass, and they took full advantage of it. And it was disappointing for Donegal, very disappointing, Tom.
No, okay, that was your reasoning for thinking they were going to win it. As the having watched the game now, what did you make of the game?
I suppose there were no surprises. Donegal knew what was coming down the track at them, and I suppose in hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I think if Donegal were going at it again, they'd change a couple of things. Donegal knew that Paddy Dorcan was going to go on Ryan McHugh. They knew that Lee Keegan was going to go on Michael Murphy, that Keith Higgins was going to go on Paddy McBurty. So that was well documented. But in saying it, what I would have been doing, Tom, what I would have been doing in that situation, I know Ryan McHugh would have been very disappointed with his performance where Dorcan got 3 points. But I think it was a wee bit unfair on Ryan. I would have been putting Ryan into the forward line. and I would have been getting another Donegal player to detail Paddy Dorgan. I would also have been getting Lee Keegan detailed and man-marked by somebody from Donegal. I think Donegal, if they're doing it again, they would have to realise that James Horn, and I know Horn quite well, and Horn would have looked at it, and he says the best way to mark Ryan McHugh and the best way to mark Michael Murphy is to put them on the back foot, keep them back in their defensive positions. And any time I watched it, I could see Ryan chasing Paddy Dorgan away into the full back line, his own full back line. I seen Michael Murphy chasing Keegan. And I think that was a mistake on Donegal's part. If Donegal were doing that again, I would be keeping those three lads, McBrady, Murphy and McHugh, as a triangle up in the top attacking half of the pitch. And I would be getting the other players. I've been getting the Jamie Brennans. I've been getting the Michael Langans, the Owen McHughs, whoever it was. But when those boys crossed the 65, our 65, you boys are responsible for detailing them. We want Murphy, we want McHugh, we want McBrady as the attacking threats. Donegal did not get those three men up there enough. And Horan played it very smart. Horan said the best way to mark McHugh is put him on the back foot. The best way to mark Murphy, put him on the back foot. And Donegal, unfortunately, it fell into that trap. And to me, that was one of the big factors. Now, your point also, Donegal were unlucky. Neil McGee was a massive loss at a full-back. That goal would not have been conceded if Neil McGee had been in there at full-back. Killian O'Connor would not have got that to the ball. Neil McGee would have taken O'Connor ball and all out of it in that move. So McGee, a massive loss. Owen Bahn, a massive loss as well. As well as Jason McGee went off early. But take those three aside, Tom. I still think Donegal had enough on the pitch to beat to have beaten Mayo. Obviously, the lack of clinical finishing was a major problem to them. They had so many chances. And whilst I thought last year in the match against against Tyrone, they were well beaten in the end against Tyrone, I think they'll have more regrets this time of leaving Castlebar without the win than they had of leaving Ballybuffet last year, because there was a massive opportunity there this year. But that point that I'm making, Tom, and you see, people can get conned by thinking if a man's playing in the half back line, he doesn't have to be man marked. If I was in charge of a team going out to play Mayo, I'd be detailing Paddy Dorgan, and I'd be detailing Lee Keegan, and I would not be putting my marquee men on them. I would make sure this. I would have made sure that Keegan and Dorgan did not get dragging Murphy and McHugh all around that pitch on Saturday evening, and dragged them into the positions where they were totally ineffective. Now, in saying that, Murphy, I thought, had a massive game.
1-4.
Like, he had a massive game, and Murphy, I have massive respect for Murphy. I think he's tremendous, and he's been carrying that Donegal team for the best part of the last decade. I don't know how his back is not broken with it. And I think it's time now that other Donegal players step up and take the pressure off Murphy in the next 2 to 3 years. Because this Donegal team are a good side, Tom. They're going to come back. They're going to bounce back. But they need players to step up on the big days. And the big day was last Saturday. And Murphy, when he went in the full forward, he was brilliant. But I felt, I would still feel that if Donegal were doing it again, I'd just be interested. And I know Stephen Rochford well. Stephen, I have tremendous respect for him and Declan Bonner. But if they were doing it again, I would feel that the best thing for them to do would have been to keep those three players up the pitch and let Keegan put other players who are totally ineffective on Saturday. I'd have got Jamie Brennan. You get back, Jamie, and you detail Dorgan every time he crosses the halfway line. Don't have Ryan McHugh doing it. Keep Mayo under pressure by putting our three best players in the attacking half of the pitch. And I think if that had to happen, Donegal could have got more. Murphy, as you say, scored 1-4, and you'd have to give him awful credit, because despite the thing going against him, he kept going, and he near dragged Donegal single-handed over the line. I thought Darrow Boyle was very good as well, who had been indifferent in some of his performances coming up to last Saturday evening, but I thought he was very good last Saturday. But Murphy near single-handedly got them across the line. But the fact they didn't get across the line, I think Horn got it spot on. And Donegal, I feel, if they were going to play them again, they definitely wouldn't let Ryan McHugh go on Dorgan or let Michael Murphy be tracking Keegan around the pitch. That's not what they wanted. Donegal needed their top man. And McHugh is their top man. Murphy's their top man. McBrady is their top man. Obviously, McBrady was carrying a bit of an injury into that game. He wasn't at himself either. But those would have been the three lads I'd have been keeping up the pitch. And I'd be getting my other players, the Brennans, the Langans, the McHughs, whoever else there, you boys do the work. You boys make sure you force the turnovers there and get the ball up to our marquee players. If that had to happen, I think Donegal would be in the All-Ireland semi-final this weekend.
Yeah, well, we can't complain about that. Rob Henley on the kick-outs as well was a factor.
Oh, yes, he was very, very good on the kick-out. And it was well documented that they were going to go with that. But I'll tell you what, I was very disappointed with Donegal because Donegal, for me, are the masters at the break ball. So I was very disappointed with Donegal that didn't get round the break ball the way they normally do. I watched them in Ulster, so they were a breath of fresh air in Ulster. They're, the way they played their football. That's why I'm disappointed that Donegal are not in the semi-final, because they deserve to be for the refreshing brand of exciting, attacking football that they played this year. But they will learn from it. But they were poor on the break ball. The other thing that disappointed me about them, Tom, the way they played against Kerry, they pressed up high on Kerry. And they put Kerry under pressure and they produced fantastic football. Why did they not press up higher on Mayo? It was shown on the clips after in the reviews where Mayo had the freedom in their own 65 to play the ball in front of their forwards without any pressure being put on them. Now, people might criticise the Donegal full-back line for being behind their man. But if you are out the field and have all the time in the world to pick out those passes, it's very difficult for defenders to get out in front and marshal them. It's advantage forward. So I think by Donegal not pressing out on the Mayo players further out the pitch, they give a serious advantage to the inside Mayo forwards. Every time Mayo picked out their passes, the Donegal players were out in front of their men. So you'd look at the defending, yes, partly, but I would be looking at the source of the ball going in. There wasn't enough heat, there wasn't enough pressure put on that ball going into the Donegal defence. And that's something, I thought the high press against Kerry was brilliant. Why did they not do the high press against Kerry?
And what do you think happens in a situation like that where a team used the high press, and especially against Tyrone as well in Ulster and against Kerry, and they just abandon it on what becomes the biggest game?
Yes, well, I find that strange. I find that strange because I've watched Donegal closely all year, right from the first game against Fermanagh. I'm hugely impressed with them. And I cannot understand why they kind of reverted back to type where, you know, they retreated too far against Mayo. They retreated much too far. And I think whether that was a collective decision before they went out that they would give Donegal the ball in this area, because I know Horan, and Horan always likes his team to dominate the middle third. Well, they dominated the middle third on Saturday because there was no pressure being put on them. If I was going out to play Mayo, I would make sure I would not sacrifice the middle third. I would look to take over the middle third when I'm playing Mayo. I would look to take over, and I would back my defenders inside then, because you would be looking then at pressure going on the ball going in, given the advantage. Give your full back line 50-50 on the ball going in. That's what I would always tell my players out the pitch. Be respectful to your full back line. Give them a 50-50 call on the ball that's going in. And I think if the Donegal full back line had to get a 50-50 call on the ball going in, then they could have won a lot more ball and wouldn't have made it as easy for the Mayo forwards. Mayo forwards had it far too easy. They were getting real quality ball because there was no heat being put on the ball going in. And that's something I think that Donegal will look back on, Tom, and will regret.
So a black mark against the management?
Well, no, I don't. I would not criticise the management in any way, but I feel when they look back on the game, if they had a chance now to play Donegal, to play Mayo again, they would definitely not allow Mayo to take over the middle third the way they did. They would have put far more pressure on that ball going into the Donegal full back line. And the second thing that I feel would have made a massive difference to them, Ryan McHugh, Michael Murphy, Paddy McBrady, keep those three lads up the pitch and let the other boys, who were totally ineffective, a lot of them was ineffective, like Michael Langan, who had been good all year, his shooting was off, Jamie Brennan wasn't getting into the game at all. Here, you guys, get back there, get back and work, get the turnovers in on Keegan, get the hits, get the pressure in. You boys, do that dirty work. Like, Donegal were really looking was for McHugh and Murphy probably to do the dirty work as well as the real flash work up the pitch, and that wasn't possible. That wasn't possible on Saturday. I felt there were some Donegal players there who could have been used better in that more defensive role and let Murphy and McHugh put the read, because I don't think the Mayo defenders were going to be good enough to deal with Murphy, McHugh, McBrearty up front if they had to be getting the ball into them.
Well, that's a good analysis. People agree with it and other people disagree with it. That's the voice of Dom Corrigan, former Fermanagh manager, former Fermanagh player, of course, as well, and a man that has managed club teams and, of course, managed St Michael's Inniskillen into a McCrory and Hogan Cup double this year. So that's his thoughts on Donegal and Mayo. What did you make of the game in Healy Park? We'll briefly talk about that, Dublin and Tyrone. It was a game of cat and mouse, was it, or was there something positive to come out of it?
Actually, we talked about it last week, Tom. It was a dead rubber game. It was always going to be. Mickey Hart did exactly the right thing. He changed the team up completely, give fringe players a run out, because the word is that Tyrone have been focusing on Kerry for the last 6 weeks. Because when Mickey's seen the Super 8s, and he's not late, when Mickey's seen the Super 8, the two sections, he knew, listen, I'm not going to beat Dublin, I'm going to be second. And he probably hedged his bets that Kerry were going to finish first. So Mickey wanted a team nice and fresh, injury-free, going in to play Kerry next week. So he'd done the right thing. I suppose it asks questions about this Super 8s. That's what it's done more than anything else. I think as a game in itself and its relevance to the present championship, absolutely none. It was dead rubber in that regard. But I think what it will raise, Tom, last Sunday's game will raise serious question marks. Do we keep, like, this Super 8 is a three-year process. I think that game might come back to surface again when people are discussing, should we keep with this Super 8 system, or should we look to change it, maybe revert back to the old system where it was a straight knockout in the All-Ireland quarter-final? Because that game, even the Cork-Roscommon game, was a dead rubber game as well. I know there was a paltry attendance at it, very little interest in it. So you would have to say that obviously Mayo Donegal game was massive for the Super 8, but the Dublin and Tyrone game was a total non-event. I suppose what it does show us is that even with a second or third team out, you know, some of those players wouldn't get on a Dublin third team that they're out playing last Sunday. Jim was just using the game to give everybody a run out, even his training panel. So I suppose he got game time into the likes of Dermot Connolly. Kevin McMenamin got game time, Paddy Andrews, but you're not going to see any of those players, I don't think, starting Saturday evening against Mayo. It'll be a totally different Dublin side. And I think on the evidence of what we've seen so far this year, it's going to take a massive performance from somebody out there to beat Dublin, and I can't see it. I know Mayo will be on a real high coming out of Castlebar, but honestly, Tom, I can't see them getting within 7-8 points of Dublin Saturday evening. I'm going for a Dublin win there, convincingly.
Yeah. Well, the one team that have managed maybe should have beaten them once or twice, but came awfully, awfully close.
Oh, mighty close. And they're the one team, Tom, that do not fear Dublin. And they will go at them. They will definitely not be sitting back and retreating and letting Mayo come at them. They will go man to man. James Horn is a great believer in players going man to man. I had James in speaking to my McCrory Cup group a way back. We went down to Westport last January. We went to Briefy House and James came in and had a chat with our lads, just an informal chat. And the one thing that struck me about him that day, he said, was that he doesn't believe much in sweepers or blanket defences, very much in man-on-man battles. And he's going to back his Mayo players to take on these Dublin players man-on-man. And, you know, the likes of Dorkin, the likes of Keegan, the likes of Higgins, all of these players, there's a few boys coming back. Mayo won't fear it, but I just don't think they have the quality up front to nail the chances that they need, because Dublin are maybe up to 80% on shot-to-score ratio. Mayo would be maybe less than 50% shot-to-score ratio. So I think the lack of clinical forwards will be Mayo's undoing on Saturday.
And tell me, what about Tyrone and Kerry? How do you see that go?
I'm fancying Tyrone, because I think the Kerry defence is very, very suspect, very vulnerable. Like, Meath cut through them there last Sunday with loads of opportunities for more scores. Like, they scored highly on them. They could have got more. I think Tyrone's intensity in the tackle will be something that Kerry will not have experienced in a long while. I think McSheehan, Donnelly, Hart and Sludden are really in top form up front. I don't think Kerry have the defenders to deal with them. Hart has been preparing for this one for the last 6 weeks. I'm tipping Tyrone to win by five.
Yeah, Kerry obviously are vulnerable at the back, but they have our key forwards.
They have brilliant forwards. But Kerry would love a shootout. And, you know, they had a shootout with Donegal. It's an awful pity that Donegal didn't beat them that day, because if Donegal had to win that game by a point, they'd be in the All-Ireland semi-final and not Kerry. Yes, Kerry love a shootout, and they'd probably be a match for any team in a shootout. But when it comes to dealing with a team who are very well set up defensively, a great structure in place, and Mickey Hart has that. Mickey Hart will get his matchups right. He'll have Clifford dealt with. He'll have Geaney and all.
Who's he likely to put on Clifford?
It's hard to know. I would say McNamee or possibly Hampsey. He used last weekend to get game time into Hampsey. But he'll have Colm Kavanagh dealing in front of him there. So I think Clifford has to be dealt with. Geaney has to be dealt with. I also think David Moore in midfield. Like, Tyrone need to step up in the middle of the field. Like, they were totally destroyed by Donegal in midfield back in Breffni Park in Maytown. So they have, you know, Tyrone have a lot of work to do to make sure they get everything in order. But they've had a bit of time now, and as I said to you, Tom, they've been focusing on this one for the last 4 to 5 weeks. They'll feel that they'll have their matchups right. They get a big performance out of Kavanagh, you know, in the middle of the field. Richie Donnelly's coming into big form as well, doing well for them. But I think the key is McSheehan and Matty Donnelly. If they can get ball into them, then I don't think Kerry have the defenders to deal with them. So, no, I think, I know a lot of people are tipping Kerry, but I'm going for Tyrone. I think it'll be another Tyrone-Dublin. A repeat of last year's All-Ireland final, that's what I'm predicting.
Yeah. And before we let you go, Super 8s, what would you keep them, or would you go back to the old tradition?
It's hard to know. I'm a Fermanagh man, and I look at, what's Fermanagh's best chances of getting to an All-Ireland semi-final? And I think it's our best chance of getting to an All-Ireland semi-final is the old way, a one-off game in an All-Ireland quarter-final. I think the Super 8s make the strong teams stronger and give them a better chance. You know, you can catch Dublin on one day, you can catch Kerry on one day. Like, for example, Mayo were a strong side. They were caught one day, but they're still there. So, being from one of the lesser lights, being a Fermanagh man, I would go back to the old system of straight knockout in the All-Ireland quarter-final and take it from there.
Look, Dom, thanks a million, appreciate that.
Thanks, Tom, cheers.
That's Dom Corrigan joining us from Fermanagh, of course, reflecting back. And some interesting thoughts there on the Super 8s. I think a lot of people may be of the same mind, but it's going to obviously get another chance, though I see Michael Murphy in Dublin today wants to see it trialled for another year. Remember, it's for a 3-year period. But interesting thoughts there on Donegal and the tactics, and obviously the benefit of hindsight. But if you have any thoughts on what Dom says, we'd love to hear from you. 086 60 25,000 is the text number, and if you want to text us from the north of Ireland, it's 0003 53 86 25,000. So certainly a very interesting thought there, very thought provoking thoughts from Dom Corrigan, and just listening again to him there, some coaches could learn a lot if they were listening there tonight. But that's about it for me from the GAA programme. Of course, it's full steam ahead now for the All County Football Leagues as they're coming to the conclusion here in Donegal, and of course it's preparation for the club championship, which gets underway on the Saturday and Sunday, the weekend of the 6th and 7th of September, and it'll be hectic from then until the county final in the middle of October. So we'll be all looking forward to that in the coming weeks, and of course we'll be looking forward to Tyrone and Kerry on Sunday as well. We'll have live action from that. From me, Tom Cormack, from Paul McDevitt on sound, from my special guest tonight, Tom Corrigan, Gugian Shocklin Hogan, Slán agus beannacht.